It's like Sadie Hawkins dance, where the girls ask the guys. So yeah, just by saying I went tells you that a girl asked me.
What age was this?
16, bro.
Did you grind? Was it a grinding style
dance? I personally didn't. I was too busy fucking, I don't know, talking to the DJ, asking him how how his business model operates and how he could fucking optimize and make a little more money and how he could get the music to be more modern.
Welcome to Joy Tactics, the podcast dedicated to all things joyful, joyous, and meeting as many celebrities as humanly possible. Hosted by Eric Rahill, Nate Veroni, and Jack Bensinger. Enjoy.
Life is a tragedy for those who feel, a scent for those who smell, a movie for those who are watching, a diet for those on a diet. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think
Jack
I do.
Jack has just gotten out of a sort of mental institution for people that are can't figure out various math equations right now. So
some things are very personal, Nate.
And wait, I don't know if you guys could tell what I was doing, but at the beginning I was sniffing, smelling the mic.
No, yeah. I couldn't. No.
To sort of tip off the listeners that this episode will be about the power of smell and scent.
Wow.
It's on theme.
Mm-hmm.
Beat poetry intro, kind of.
But Jack, everything's okay in there? They let you bring all your stuff from your room?
I know. The they didn't let me see most of the time.
You're in a straitjacket, but you have a Nintendo Switch, and you make the people there, like, you command them what to do.
Damn. That would, if you took the power of sight from someone, imagining a V for Vendetta-style situation, remember how Natalie Portman is turned into being a radical by V, by putting her through crazy, crazy situations?
Giving her remember a haircut.
That? Of course,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, imagine doing that to get someone to smell even more crazier. By blindfolding them, placing different scents around the room, rose on one side, fish on the other.
You laugh, but if you watch The Bear, if you watch every episode of The Bear, you would know that that's the type of chef shit that really goes down. Double mug sip, Eric and Nate, double mug sip.
The double mug sip.
That was good.
The Valentine's Day heart mug. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
The 808 and heartbreak style mug right there.
We are recording this on Valentine's Day. I think we should. I mean, that's like one of the most joy tacticianly days of all time. Sending love to your loved one.
Wine, pasta,
chocolate,
rose flowers. We haven't done fucking kissing. Love, relationships. Yeah, I mean,
I'm about to be kissing all fucking day long.
I know, you were fucking getting your lips all wet last night at the MJ Lenderman show, showing me how you're going to be doing it.
Whoops. Wait a minute, what did I just hear? You went to MJ Lenderman's show.
Yeah, we were going to save that till
we
the
didn't
end,
even want to discuss it, but yeah, since you brought it up, we were there, and yeah, we had a VIP wristband.
Yeah,
so that's just another fucking day for us, basically.
Shout out to John from the band that basically got our asses in there, celebrity style, and there wasn't a VIP section, but we had the employees sort of create a barrier around us.
John Coombs?
John Samuels.
Oh, my fault. I knew that.
They fucking rocked the house, dude.
Oh, man. They were shredding.
And you guess what? They were having fun, too. You know
that's the important thing about performance. You want to see that person having a good time. You see what I'm saying? Unless they're an opera singer performing a tragedy, then you want to see the opposite.
When's the last time you were at an opera?
Because I don't think I've ever been. Six lives ago. Fucking six lifespans ago.
I go once a year with my girlfriend, my aunt and uncle who live on the Upper West Side. They take me and my girl out there to see some opera, and that's when I practice my Spanish, because you could change the subtitles to be in Spanish.
You get subtitles?
On the back of every seat at the Met, or whatever it's called, you get, because the operas are in Italian a lot of the time, mm-hmm. or like you just can't hear them because, oh! So you could change the language of the subtitles, and that's how I practice my Spanish once a year. Sangre.
But, I'm very confused by this.
But here's the thing that I feel is that opera should transcend the power of language. The words are just a fucking instrument. You know what I mean?
Right. It's emotion.
To get to the next note, to convey the sense of emotion. I don't need to know what that word means. I can feel it telepathically.
It is hard. Mm. I do get that. I get the emotional journey, but there's something fundamentally as a lyricist first and a melodist second. I mean, it's a very tough race there, but, you know.
Here's my question. Has anyone mixed together hip-hop and opera before?
Chill.
All right, the hip hopera.
Move on.
Google hip hopera right now.
You know what I've been working on.
One time I went in Chicago. I got a free ticket to see break dancing to opera music or classical music at the Chicago Theater that was sponsored by Red Bull, and it was like literally 2,000 seat theater. Literally, there maybe was like 180 people.
No.
Up in this establishment.
No.
Breakdance.
Well, in the documentary, that's what they'll show, because initially that's what the movement looked like. There's 100 people in 1,000 seat arenas, whatever. But in 2030, when everything begins to really fall down, people are going to look to a new art form. And I believe it's going to be that one. And it's going to take over the world.
I love that. It's because classical music has not had, you know, any upgrades really?
No,
in the past,
except for the electric
violin. Well, except for that, of course.
And bus driver.
But I respect people trying to, you know, reach new audiences with classical music.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm the biggest Chopin head in the world. There's not much I like more in the world than Chopin, other than maybe Paul Simon and Randy when they were together.
Man, put on some fucking Chopin.
Put on some Debussy.
Debussy.
Debussy is a much more common name than you might think. I feel like walking around, I do see it a lot.
Debussy?
Debussy, yeah. It's like Aaron and Aaron's Debussy Law Firm. Where do you see Debussy? I see it on trucks. I see it on buildings. I see it on billboards. I'm seeing it. I see it on Spotify.
What's our favorite fucking name on the side of the... Oh, fuck. I just had it. It was just... The name on...
It was like... Hey, Craig...
Dewey,
Oh, Dewey Pyle? Hey, Dewey Pyle?
Yeah, hey, Dewey Pyle. Mm-hmm. Nah, you don't even know what the fuck we're talking about, because he never lived in New York, dude. There's trucks that say A. Dewey Pyle on them that drive around.
A Dewey Pyle?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds naughty.
A Dewey Pyle? That's the last thing you would want to step in my opinion.
You know, back in the day, we were stepping in them all the time.
Oh, back in the day, that was just part of your daily life. But I'll say this, back in the day, all them shoes were flat, so you didn't have the problem of getting some Dewey stuck in the little grooves of your tennis shoes. Right. You just wipe it on some grass, it all comes off clean.
Yeah, yep. I've been noticing it since it... I have this question...
When are they gonna finally?
Well, no, that's just Nate's response to my fucking idea.
Well, it's related. Yep. So it rained heavily in Los Angeles recently, and I noticed a lot of dog poop on the ground. Do people not pick it up because the sidewalk's wet? Do you see that as a dog owner?
I don't know.
Because if your dog shits in like kind of something that's like a puddle, like you're not gonna, like, are you picking it up in the puddle?
If you're responsible, you are getting at some type of thing to extract that shit. I'll pick it up wherever. I've never let that shit slide.
What if he poops on the top?
And I wear a body cam so people can fucking, you know, audit my picking up procedures. How are you guys? Because Jack, I feel like I haven't seen your ass in a minute. Frankly, feels like we've been avoiding each other.
Well, we have been due to some major artistic disagreements on the podcast and the audio filters that we use. but we squashed that shit. Yeah, I asked Nate, because you guys did the Carmen episode.
Yeah.
How did you feel talking to him? He's like, I know he can be pretty like,
well,
like
first off,
a celebrity on
hella nervous. Yeah, hella nervous.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it all kind of just, we just ended up being actually boys. He's really cool in real life.
Yeah, it was great to meet him for the first time.
But, and yeah, Jack, you're still drinking? You still drink alcohol?
No. Not really. Not in the last day or two.
Nate, you know what's, but you know what enrages me is that Nate doesn't, he's not even really doing it. He's just like that, you know, because I was like, I'm taking some time off. And then the other day I asked Nate, have you had a drink? And he's like, has to think about it. Like, actually, no, I don't think I have since London.
God damn.
Yeah.
Jesus. And yet I'm fucking white knuckling every day, like scratching marks into the wall to show how many days I've been doing it.
Nate, what are your addictions? Because you put this interestingly, where you called me out for having digital addictions. Oh, yeah, yours are fucking nicotine, elemental
coffee,
addictions.
Nicotine, yeah. Yeah, I'm not perfect, man. I'm not perfect. I'm addicted to coffee. I'm addicted to
nicotine. You are.
Meditation.
Meditation.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Eating healthy. Treating others with kindness and grace.
Having curiosity.
Sex.
Having sex. yeah, just, I'm not perfect. I'll tell you that. That was a moment for the audience to have a to live in the present moment.
Yeah, and the audio phone died.
I know some people were freaking out. Oh my god, a fucking podcast isn't playing in my fucking earbuds. What am I gonna fucking do?
Yeah,
you need to sit in that fucking silence. All right, that's good for you.
Guess what? Some people don't have fucking water to drink. Think of, let's recontextualize your problems, all right?
Eric, do you remember you used to say this a lot, that it really made you laugh to think about somebody being thirsty?
Why? Why is that funny?
It's just, I mean, it's an evil thought. I would say it doesn't make me laugh to think about someone that's really struggling being thirsty, like in a country that's not doing great.
No, it's about yourself.
Our country's not doing great, but just like about someone in, you know, like at our level that is fucking thirsty. Water. You know what I mean? When's the last time you got crazy thirsty? I can't remember. I'm always hydrated.
Yeah. Not in the tradition. I haven't been in the classical sense of thirsty. I haven't been thirsty like that in a while, but there is another definition of thirsty that I feel.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Many times a day as I take my walks.
I don't feel that towards
internet.
Towards women, but I feel that career wise. When I'm watching the fucking Grammys and the Emmys, I get extremely career thirsty.
You'll be there soon. You'll be at the Grammys soon.
I know. I just can't fucking wait.
Opera.
It's like waiting for Christmas to hit. Please get me there.
Hey,
once I hit that 360 camera, oh my fucking god!
Oh yeah.
What's that?
I'm pulling my fucking thing out.
I'm gonna be so rude to that guy when he does, because he always describes like how to do it, you know, beforehand. Yeah, you just stand on the mark. I'm like, bro. Yeah, I know. Trust me, watch this shit.
Yeah.
You know what the movie
is. You cut in front of like Gene Smart. Excuse me. No one asked you to do it.
So smell.
Smell, bro. Well, I'll put it this way. I got some incense burning that Layla got me. this morning, very sweet. And there's coffee that's brewed. I brushed my teeth. Smell in my house right now is pretty good.
Okay.
It's pretty good. But
do you guys think I should get some pheromones? Experiment with different types of pheromone spray?
Yeah.
For in-person auditions?
Yeah, I think so. Well, yeah, you just... You're
I think I should put on hella pheromones when I do stand-up.
Just what so does the a pheromone smell like? Sweat?
I think it kind of like can smell bad, but I don't know. I've never purchased...
Pheromones smell like fucking shit?
In my head, like the strongest, like most powerful pheromone probably smells a little bad. But it's like in the way that you're like, oh, I'm so... It smells horrible, but it does something to you chemically where your shit just gets so fucking horny.
I bet honey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, but what the fuck is musk?
Musk
no, I'm not talking about the...
Calvin Klein cologne, you know what I'm saying?
Fucking dictator. What's that?
That's just cologne, you know?
No, but why did it... Because musk to me sounds so fucking sexual and stanky. You know what I mean? Who came up with the word musk? The word musk disgusts me in more ways than just one. I'll just put it that way.
Wow.
To all the political heads out there.
Do you have anything to say to Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency?
Yeah, I have more than fucking one thing to say if I'm allowed to swear. Am I allowed to swear on here?
Never. At no point during this podcast have we ever had a no swearing sort of policy. You've been holding back swearing the entire.
If your cousin started working for Doge, you know what I mean. If your 17-year-old cousin started working for Doge, would you stop them, or would you follow them around and start writing a fucking movie about what they're going through?
Well, yeah, I'd have to hit the Michael Moore with that one to expose them.
Michael Moore, please come back now. Please start documenting shit again.
He's fucking
please.
Dead, dude, and he's been dead for a while.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Michael Moore?
Yeah.
No.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. He's alive.
Oh,
but
Jack,
you see how you believe that, right?
I'll believe anything that a close friend tells me, because that's called trust. Look who we were looking up last night, Jack.
Okay.
Couldn't that be Nate off some fucking...
What's his name,
heavy
by
tea?
The way?
His name is Heihachi Mishima.
I'm Why'd getting there.
Ass?
Because I was saying Nate could become that if he wanted.
Yeah.
I am becoming that. All I need is gray hair and about 70 more pounds on the bench press, and I'm there.
You just need to change
What's
who you hang
bench
out with.
Right now, Nate?
I need to change who I hang out with.
Look at you are the five people you chill with. So right now, you chill with me, fucking White Gumby, and you chill with Eric.
So you're saying I need to chill with Chun-Li?
You need to be chilling with...
Isn't that one of the Tekken ladies?
I think she's not real.
Well,
I
don't know.
Like Cali Muscles. You know him?
No.
He's a YouTuber. He like goes into McDonald's and is very strong. But if you just... It's that simple, y'all. Don't overcomplicate it. If you want to gain muscle... Flush your friend group and just chill with people who have muscle on, and then it'll just happen naturally. Yo, what are you guys doing today? I don't know. I was going to go eat six bowls of Chipotle with steak. You know what I'm saying? Mm.
Yeah, we need to fucking revamp our friend group.
I've been saying this for a minute.
Like, I'm sick of this, the people that I'm with. It's just like, I need a varied group of very rich, tapped in, intellectual professors, top level producers, chefs.
What we need to do is open the most fucking sickest bar at Harvard, near Harvard, allow the underage people to come in, let their fake IDs in, become friends with them, and... You see what I'm saying?
Right. We should move to Cambridge.
We should start working at that bar that we went to in Oxford.
Oh.
This to all the producers listening, three uneducated American men over 30 moved to Oxford after being forced to by the government, and they end up working at the most ancient bar in Oxford, serving ale and fucking steak pies to professors and literary folk. And all of a sudden, they become... Okay, go ahead.
Well, no, they become what?
I didn't really have a... Didn't.
All right.
Well, really enemies at first, and then friends.
Right. They're the riffraff at first, and then they become oracles.
How about this? A couple of best friends are hanging out when suddenly the shortest one gets glaucoma really bad out of nowhere. And what? The doctor... Like, you fucking go blind, and the doctors are all saying, no, it's some rare form of cancer. You can never cure cancer. Sorry. And then the three of us, in order to save Eric's life, we go to fucking Oxford. We get we go get our biological degrees, biology degrees, chemistry degrees, medical degrees, and then we fucking cure a disease from the bottom up. Grassroots style.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let me... All right, I like that idea, but I had another idea once you said glaucoma, because imagine this.
All right.
Three attractive best friends that run a podcast together are all chilling. The shortest one gets what the doctors think is glaucoma.
Right.
But this glaucoma is different. His eyes, aka my eyes, are turning pure fucking milk white, pure white. And then they turn sort of like silver. And actually what's happening is I'm becoming a fucking, you know what I mean, oracle predicting the future. And that I'm starting to get superpowers. And you guys have to protect me from the governments that are trying to use and abuse me.
But you're so like you guys so become very skilled dying.
In knife play. What's that?
You're so sick and you're dying. Like
you right. But I'm like, all right, fucking next week. Next week John Hamm passes away in a horrible accident. That shit happens.
Then start there's like start World War III is going on and you can't like predict like anything that's
just celebrity deaths
could help anyone.
And we're just gambling on it. We're not protecting you.
And you know I'm actually at risk for glaucoma, right?
Why?
Well, let's just say that when they take a picture of the back of my eyes, there's an enlargement that they have to keep an eye on every time. We're just keeping an eye on it. And guess what? My great aunt had glaucoma and went fucking blind because of
Didn't
it.
Mr. Beast cure
But you know what helps? You know what? Yeah, you know what helps glaucoma though, right?
Nicotine.
Marijuana.
Whoopsies.
So yeah, that's something I don't mind getting.
That is counterintuitive. That is, I'll put it this way, that's counterintuitive because they're saying that you need to blow clouds to get rid of the clouds.
Well, think of it this way: when you smoke, what happens to the blood vessels in your eyeballs? They dilate.
They constrict.
No, they dilate.
Right.
That's what redness in the eye is. So it does make sense.
I remember when I first started smoking weed, I was like so self-conscious that my eyes were red. What are those ones that are like, they're like a mint for your eyes? Those eye drops. They're called something. It's like, it feels like fire, like going in your eyes. Eye gum. What the fuck is that called? They're kind of amazing.
Mint, liquid tear mint. Juice.
It's like putting like an Altoid in your fucking eye. But you know what? If I see somebody with their eyes are fucking bloodshot, I'm no judgment. If you're fucking high as fuck,
and some people I don't just care. Have it. I definitely got a friend who's just got eyes that look like he's just come out of the pool at all times.
Who's that?
Nobody.
Michael Phelps.
Yeah, Michael Phelps.
Okay, Nate. What's the best smell? And be respectful and don't say anything fucking gross.
Gotta be respectful. Yeah. All right, next. Jack, you want to take this one then?
Yeah, I'll go to the smell of me right after I lick an Oscar trophy on stage and then smell the Oscar.
Oh, shit.
Nah.
The smell of me after I lick an Oscar trophy on stage.
That's something that you can't, that's a way of writing that you can't learn by going to Ivy League schools. That thought will not come to you. I'm sorry. Okay?
Right.
I apologize.
Right.
Remember when Azalea Banks said that Grimes and Elon Musk smelled like pennies?
Oh, yeah,
that is good. The ultimate roast. Because the worst thing you can like
that might be the worst thing somebody can say about another person is spread a rumor that you stank.
Like, but that, smell like pennies is especially that hits different.
I got one. I'm sitting on one that I'm waiting to use on somebody who really fucks with me. I'm gonna say you smell like one a day pills. Because those things.
Jesus,
one a day for pills for men. That goes to the worst person I meet. They're going to get that. Do you ever smell somebody out on the street and they have your high school girlfriend's perfume on?
No.
No.
And is that because you guys were fucking didn't have can get chicks in high school?
I was applying for scholarships, dude.
I'm just joking. But do you ever smell something and it gives you the memory of a human being?
Of course.
Right.
How special
Well, you know,
that?
Scent memory. You know, some people do it like this. Layla's sister does this. You, by season, every season, different time, for different, like, okay, let's say we're going to Vegas, right, in March, which is what we're planning. We all pick a scent that we'll only wear on that trip. And you spray it on every day. You spray it on the whole time. Then, you know, a year from then, you smell that scent again, all of a sudden, we'll be flooded with Vegas memories, winning $1 million on the slots, whatever.
All cheating on our girlfriends at the same time with the same girl.
So, scent has very, and the government doesn't want to look into this, and a lot of scientific agencies are too afraid to look into it. But scent has a very powerful connection to memory.
And food.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
If you, what do they say?
I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, I went back to Fremont, Ohio, where I spent like 10 years of my life there. And I went back there for the first time in like probably like 20 years or something like that. And I remember distinctly when I was a little kid, there's this Mexican bakery that was right within walking distance of our house. And I was like, it just had such a unique smell. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to like walk in here. And it's a smell that I've never smelled anywhere in the universe. And it was like, it was the most wild thing ever. I was like, wow, like to smell something unique that you smelled when you were a child and not have smelled it for 20 some years and then smell it again. Now that's joy.
There are smells. Do you think a scent memory could bring tears to your eyes?
Sure. Yeah.
Interesting.
Why not? I'm a very emotional man. I'm not afraid of crying.
I know.
In front of
what if you got in a horrible car accident? And you lost 12 of your best friends on your soccer team, and then right when that happened, somebody walked up with a giant fucking plate of crab rangoon and pad thai. Every time you probably can't have Thai food, again. You start crying.
Remember that limo that there's like a party limo like upstate New York?
Oh,
where the guy was. Do you know about this, Jack?
I don't know. Which one are you talking about?
The guy like drove, I think, under a semi truck or something and just like whoosh, took everyone out.
There's a lot of bad stories about limousines in New York. Like people are like using a fucking soldering iron to melt
those
three
things
cars together and snap
apart.
Have you guys ridden a limousine before? Like a stretch limo?
Excuse me? Yeah, I have one time. For the Tolo dance.
Tolo?
The Tolo dance.
Tolo.
The sobriety thing?
It's like Sadie Hawkins dance where the girls ask the guys. So yeah, just by saying I went tells you that a girl asked me.
Wow. What age was this?
16, bro.
Did you grind? Was it a grinding style
dance? I personally didn't. I was too busy fucking, I don't know, talking to the DJ, asking him how how his business model operates and how he could fucking optimize and make a little more money and how he could get the music to be more modern. Actually, I have a specific memory of going to that dance and the pictures got posted to Facebook. And the girl that asked me, I think, didn't really even, she just like asked me out of like, I should go with someone.
Pity.
And her ex-boyfriend went to a different school and he commented like, there's a picture of me and my, I have like the worst haircut of I've ever had in my life and I look like a loser. And he comments like, damn, this is the guy, like, he was like roasting me in the,
origin comments. Story.
Yeah.
And where's that guy now?
I don't know, man. I don't care to look. I'm too busy looking ahead. What?
Right.
Paramilitary, what? Is that what you said?
No.
Speaking of the dance floor can get a little stanky sometimes. Oh. That's how you know the... That's if you're a DJ, that should be your goal, is to make the fucking the club smell like fucking shit, because people should be sweating, everybody should be sweating their a mix of cologne and
let's and get just, it smelling like shit up in
let's
here.
Get it smelling like shit up in this bitch.
But here's what's interesting, right? And there must be a metaphor about life in this. When you're in the dance floor and you're dancing away and fucking Usher's playing, and you're getting all sweaty and you're starting to smell like shit, you can't smell it, right? You can't smell everyone around you. You're too busy being in the moment. You've gotten accustomed to it. But the minute that you go outside and smoke a clove cigarette and then you come back inside, all of a sudden that smell hits you.
It's so funny to like be so to think something stinks and express it verbally.
Yeah.
Yo.
Oh, Nate, you had a funny idea about when we were working on that show about mechs. You had an idea that somebody had a gun that smelled like shit.
Yeah.
A stinky gun.
I whipped out a stanky gun and it doesn't have any bullets in it, but it's like. It's so smelly that it does the same thing that a gun would, basically. Like, if you rob a place and the gun smells like fucking shit, and they're like, oh, what the fuck is that? Put the money in the fucking bag.
Damn.
It's very good.
What's your guys' least favorite smell?
Wow. Rap world. I mean, just...
Mine's death.
Oh. Yeah.
Actually, I have a good memory of I got Fallout 3 when I was about 15, and a animal died, like a possum died underneath our house, and they couldn't find it. Like, we couldn't locate where it had died. So our whole house smelled like this, like, rotting possum corpse. And it really, like, colored my gameplay of Fallout. I felt like I was in a post-apocalyptic land. It legit like fully immersed me. Yeah, it was 4D.
Damn.
And you know, I just auditioned for your Fallout, right?
Dude, be careful. Be very careful my role. About blowing up your spot.
The role I auditioned for was called Rough Looking Shopkeep.
You gotta get that. But that's, no, but you're too handsome.
I know. That's what I said in my slate.
Hey, I think Nate, I'm too handsome for this.
6 foot one, yeah. Los Angeles, California. I don't even know why I'm fucking auditioning for this because I'm one of the most prettiest.
I'd rather
guys
do the sex robot planet. Part that I think I've been hearing is going around.
That's not in the script that I think that I'd like to pitch for you guys. I feel like that would work.
What?
Taking a risk like that. Don't even audition for it, but you create your own role in the show. Hey, listen, I'm not auditioning. Just letting you know, casting person, I'm not auditioning for this fucking part. And they're going to be like, thank God they watched a million tapes that day.
Yeah. Right.
Instead, something I'm going to pitch you a season arc for sort of a werewolf character or something like that. And he's sexy and he sort of becomes like, you know, the fans are like begging for this guy to like come back and everything, and
kind of
takes over the entire, you know, show.
How about this? You send three videos over. The first video says, "Hello, casting director. Right now, I'm sure you're bored as fuck watching a bunch of these auditions today, but I would like to play a game with you. Now you have a choice to make. If you want to give me an amazing part and put me in a series regular into your new TV show, play video A." And video A, you pitch them a new character.
This sounds like a Saw-like sort of thing. Like they'd be like checking for like a bomb in their casting office like immediately.
Well, okay, so if they pick video A, you give them an amazing character. They're blessed by your performance. The show becomes very popular. It's renewed for 12 seasons. But you say, if you choose to not cast me, why don't you go ahead and play video B? And video B, you are cursing the camera, cursing all the production. Nate, do the cursing for us. It's just three hours of that.
With a Google Maps image of their house, where their house is at.
It like freezes their computer too. They can't get out. Bring over the Geek Squad and they're all watching it. Really low volume. They mute the computer.
Could you imagine doing that in person too? Like, all right, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Someone might shoot you for that.
Sorry, just a warm up. Just a vocal warm up.
Okay, Jack, worst smell, man. Do the worst smell right now.
Do the worst smell?
Or tell us your worst, least favorite smell.
Least favorite smell. You know, it's funny thinking it's so hard to think of, which is so interesting because I feel that many other things in life, it's so easy to focus on the negative. Oh, the train's always fucking late. Oh, it's always fucking cold out. It's always fucking raining. Oh, the streets are always clogged in New York. Best city in the world. But for some reason with smell, my brain doesn't even hold on to the bad stuff. Okay, it's hard. I'm just thinking of...
Oh, I just thought of a disgusting smell, actually.
All right.
All right. Finally, a direct answer. Go ahead.
Okay, so this smell, I don't know if you guys have experienced this before, but this is very specific, too. When you... Let's say you make some eggs, okay? And the pan is just all kind of like crusty from the eggs. All right, after you're done. And what do? You kind of let the pan soak a little bit with some water before you're about to clean it off, so it's easier to get off. Now, if you've let that water soak up a little too long and it's in your dish, it's there for way too long, shit is about the worst smell you could ever have. Egg water that's rotten egg water. Have you guys experienced this before?
No, because I usually just take care of the fucking eggs immediately, and I don't have childish notions of soaking. To get rid of food.
I'm letting that shit soak, man, for a long time.
Sulfur, yeah, sulfur smells bad.
Sulfur. How about this durian?
Ooh, the fruit.
Durian.
A stinky fucking fruit.
So what is it? It doesn't taste bad, does it? It just smells disgusting.
It does kind of like taste how it smells. Like you know what I mean? Like your nose is still functioning while you're eating it.
I don't think I've ever had durian.
Smell contributes hugely to flavor if you were unaware.
What?
Salt, heat, acid, scent.
Fat.
What'd you call? Yo.
Salt, heat, acid, and fat.
Oh, you know what I've been watching? This is a conversation 360, but we've been watching this pottery reality show on Max, and it's like Great British Bake Off. It's British, but it's like pottery. And one of the hosts is this older guy. This is the most emotional person I've ever seen in my life. Like every challenge they do, like they'll just make a little like cup and he'll look at it, like they'll unveil it, and he'll be like, oh my God. It's just so incredible. Like, he just breaks down crying like 5 or 6 times every episode. Like, when he has to vote somebody off, like, just that small things too. Like, he'll just see the beauty of a it's not even painted too. It's just like the clay, like, mold of a plate.
It's just been fired.
It hasn't just even been fired yet.
The kiln? Not even fired?
No, he just is like, the shape rock of it clay will bring him to fucking tears.
Holy fucking
I want to get to that place emotionally where I can just let the tears rip like that.
Stop sleeping. Stop it. Yeah, that'll do it. Jesus. Could you guys cry on command?
No, I tried once. I can't do it.
Well, you haven't seen the shit I've seen.
Can you?
Have you seen...
Yeah, of course. Takes 2 seconds.
Have you seen 50 Cent crying on command?
No.
Did we talk about this? There's like a YouTube video that's like 50 Cent crying on command. He's on the Howard Stern show. And he's like, yeah. They're like, is acting hard for you? Like, can you cry? And he's like, yeah, I could cry on command easily. And they're like, really? And he's like, how? We do it? We do it right now. And then 50 Cent... In my memory, it's like, oh, yeah, he just cries on the Howard Stern show, and he does. It takes him not very long. Just tears are coming all of a sudden. But wow. I showed it to some people recently, and it wasn't quite as, like, on command, maybe, as I had remembered. It was like, oh, how do you do it? And he's like, yeah, just think about all the horrors of my childhood and, like, growing up without my parents. And then they're like, oh, you grew up without your parents? That must have been horrible. Did that, like, fuck you up? So it was kind of like they digged a little. It wasn't quite on command. They really kind of, like, had a little conversation about a bunch of sad shit first. They just made him cry, like, the way you'd make a human being cry.
Well, I just saw one of these things on a set recently where you take a little tube. Have you seen this? And you blow air into your, like, it goes like, and you blow air into the eye and it makes your eyes water.
Tear stick.
Give me that, a tear stick, and a fucking recent tragedy, and yeah, I can cry in seconds.
Oh, yeah. Seconds. Do that, point a gun at my loved one's head, and then, yeah, put an onion in front of my face.
When is the last time you guys fucking sobbed? Sobbed.
What was that, dude? You know what gets me is, like, anytime I watch, I think I watched an episode of Queer Eye, and I was like, this is a guaranteed, like, weep. By the end of it, when they get their fit together and their
family comes over. It is so funny to say that in 2025.
The producers of Queer Eye, man, they have a... just a chokehold on emotional, on bringing out emotions in the audience of their viewership.
God bless them.
They're very manipulative. I'll just put it that way.
Extremely.
That's like you sobbed, because I can see going like this. That's a guy that's like an overweight dad putting on Freebird shoes for the first time, and you feel so happy for him. They colored his beard.
No, I need a sob. I need a fucking uncontrollable sob.
Well, you'll get it. You'll get it sooner than you think. It's coming for us. Sobbing
is
coming for
us.
Eric,
what was your last crazy sob?
Last uncontrollable sob? I mean, maybe when our friend died.
Yeah.
I feel like it is. I knew this was going to be a sad answer.
Let's talk about something else. Yeah,
so sad. Yeah. Okay.
I had kind of a fun, this was like, I don't know, maybe like 2 years ago, but a sort of strange sob that's kind of lighthearted that I can discuss.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
This was the last time I did magical mushrooms.
Magical mushrooms.
And I was, we were camping, and I was like eating a hot dog, And if you've ever done, you know, mushrooms, it can kind of go in waves where you're like, you're elated, and then all of a sudden you're like, think about something, you get really sad. And I was just like, for no reason, we were just kind of like, just thinking about, I was just literally, this sounds so lame, but I was just thinking about the world, and I was like, man, it's like so, it's so dark out there. And I was eating a hot dog by the campfire, and I just started like, just uncontrollably crying, but I was still eating the hot dog. Like, I didn't stop eating it.
When was this?
This was like 2 years ago. Like,
what?
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I
would, but it felt great. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, yeah, it was like afterwards, you're like, man, that felt good to just weep.
Just fucking cry.
Yeah. But it was like a hard cry too. Like, it was like, it was crazy.
The weight of the world is very heavy. And to anyone that tries to be cynical and downplay it, what we have to experience while we are alive is no fucking easy feat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all share
psychic
the weight. The weight
psychic
draws us together.
Yeah, right.
Because it has gravitational
pull. We need
to
do heroic doses, all three of us together, and film it.
That'll be the end. wait, Jack, you've seen the video of the guy at the Sphere losing it?
No.
I showed Nate last night. There's this video. I'll send it to you. It's, I feel for the guy. There's a guy having a drug-induced panic attack at the Sphere, and the fucking whatever is playing at the Sphere is like red, like hell red, and the guy's like like falling backwards onto the people behind him, like trying to escape the fucking whatever he's seeing.
Oh my god.
That's me off of 5 milligrams of weed. So if you know what I mean, if I do something stronger, it's,
we are doing ayahuasca together at some point in our lives, and you have no fucking choice.
Okay.
And by the way, Austin, Texas, February 20th this week. Get your fucking tickets right fucking now. And then what's next after that? Los Angeles.
Eric
are doing our show with Connor O'Malley, Greta Teitelman, and Reveries Matt Bratz and Anthony Oberbeck. It's going to be a fun ass show. Yeah. Get your tickets
and
now.
Let's keep the train going here. New York City, you guys know, February, I can't remember, I think it's 28th, 29th, whatever the Friday is, 10 p.m. Union Hall. I'm going to be doing a show, stand up. I got Rachel Colley on there. I got Gavin Matz, probably another person. And yeah, I'm doing a secret screening of a fucking show, my directorial debut. Yeah, so if you want to see,
and let's keep it going. March 1st, Columbus, Ohio, the hometown king is returning back to my stomping grounds, and I'm gonna fucking light the stage on fire. Tickets in the show notes. Let's go.
And let's keep it going. Connor O'Malley's going on tour this summer. I'm going to about 4 dates based on what cities I wanted to enjoy: Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Colorado, probably. Eric.
Wow. Oh, things are going good for me in way, but not. I'm choosing a different path, I'll just say. But yeah, I can't really talk about it, but things are just going just good for me.
Eric is trying to produce a DIY burlesque show.
I watch.
Yeah.
Damn, all we should have done the crying episode. Show. Maybe crying.
The tears. The weeping episode.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to good smells. Let's kind of, you know what I mean? Let's finish
this
out.
That's easy.
On a
cigarettes in an elevator. Someone's been smoking in an elevator, and you walk into it later, 30 minutes later.
You know what is just, I've talked about this. This is my favorite smell in the world. A contractor comes over to your house, a working man, and they smell like a mixture of paint, aftershave, cigarette, like they smell like brute aftershave. Paint, cigarettes. It's an intoxicating aroma that men, working men, and maybe women all over the country have smelled like for the last 50, 60 years. I can't describe it. And I've always wanted to smell that way, and I just never will because I'm not a working man.
You need to bottle this and sell it. The blue collar scent. Eric Rahill's blue collar.
I'm having crazy deja vu right now. Have I talked about this a lot before?
No,
I've heard you say this before, Eric. Okay. Where you're like, you love smelling men that come over to your house to fix things.
Okay, what's your daily driver cologne? Go now. What's the daily driver?
It's actually a cologne you got me. I forget what it's called, but
Malin gets the. You're talking about the oil,
the roller,
the soap.
I think it's called cannabis and rum.
Oh, interesting. No, that shit smells amazing. I put that on all the time. And what else? Le Labo, Bay 19.
That You're shit's layering? Popping. Are you layering scents?
What is that? What's a layering mean, dude?
That's when you don't only do one pathetic smell, you do two and combine them and evolve them like a Pokemon.
Wow.
Because you've got two muscles.
That's not good to do. You don't want to be smelling like a couple of different things.
That's where you're wrong, dude.
I want to smell like everything in the world. Universal scent.
What do you guys think about the smell called petrichor?
I don't know what that is, so I can't respond.
Petrichor.
What's hilarious is you do know what that is.
Petrichor?
That is the smell.
Yeah, is it gasolina? Said petrichor, man.
Huh?
Gasolina?
No, it's the smell. You know when rain hits asphalt on a summer day?
Ooh.
What's that fucking delicious smell that I can't put my finger on? That's called petrichor.
And what's petrichor?
The name of that smell.
Oh, really? So that petrichor is not the name of like a piece of asphalt that smells like that?
I don't think so. I don't know too much about it. I'm just sort of doing guesswork at this point, but...
Yeah, that's a good
smell. That's kind of what... The Le Labo scent I just said kind of smells like that. Like it's described as grass on the or rainy grass. Like the it's kind of earthy.
Are you guys attracted to more light floral spring scents that you wear, or dark rum, tobacco, vanilla, amber style smells?
Yeah, miss me with that fucking floral shit.
That's where I think you're missing out on a whole world of scent is because you deem that too feminine. And then all of a sudden
no,
you're
I didn't
too
say
afraid
that.
To smell like
I
a
I didn't say
no,
that.
No, no. I can see right through you. Jack goes for sharper smells.
I think I maybe just put them on too strong sometimes.
But no. I feel like it's not the amount. You smell good, but it's like they're more like... They're angular smells. Ching,
ching. Right. Oh, let me That's talk so cool. about this. My dad, whenever when he would go to church, he would lather himself in this cologne. Like it was like
what cologne?
Reeked of this shit. Reeked. And I was like in a Sephora once and I found the bottle, and it's called Fahrenheit by Dior. Ooh. And it Damn. Is like, it is the most cologne smell you've ever, like my dad was like, you could smell him from the fucking pews, man. Like it was, I think it was like a power thing. Like he just like, when he walked in, he wanted people to like, be like, oh, what Damn. The fuck? Like,
here he comes.
Mike's here.
does he still wear it? Mike's here.
I'm pretty sure that's like his like ride or Signature. Die. Like for the last 40 years, he's had like Fahrenheit by Dior.
Signature scent.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out. A little bit of a tangent. I recently went to my aunt's memorial in her apartment complex, and everybody was up in her apartment. Just like, there's something odd about people. It feels like people are kind of raiding it. But what did I grab? Whoops.
Woodford Reserve.
The Woodford Reserve, Kentucky. She was a Kentucky woman herself. Kentucky bourbon whiskey. But damn, it felt like I was around. It kind of felt like a bunch of pirates, like busting into they finally get into the cave where all the treasures are.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone.
And you're collecting the Woodford Reserve.
Yeah, but some people are like shaking bags of forks around and being like, yo, I think this is silver. And it was making me laugh.
Oh my God. When I was a kid, my mom would go to estate sales all the time. And I remember one time she replaced all our silverware with estate sale silverware, and I did not fucking eat off. I like went and found the old silverware that we had because I was so grossed out to be eating on like a dead person's fucking fork.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I can see that.
The couch that I currently have is a deceased person's couch that we got.
Did
off
they
of.
Pass on it?
They very well could have, and I was like, I've like traveled like maybe like 35, 40 minutes to pick this up. And this, it was like the, you know, an old lady had passed away, and her son, who was like probably in his like 50s or something like that, was selling off all of her stuff. And I was like, this is bad, but I was trying to haggle with him. And it's like kind of, so it's like, it's like I'm trying to get a good deal, but I'm also like, this is probably a dark moment for this guy to like, you know, be selling off all of his mother's stuff. And I'm like, yeah.
Is he like, yeah, fine. Like,
yeah, yeah. He was kind of like, he was kind of easy to haggle with, I would say.
Yeah, he was vulnerable.
He was vulnerable, and I took advantage.
What? And I'm not proud of that. What was the final price?
I think I got him down like a lot of money. Like I got a fucking deal.
Did you get it for under 100?
I think it was around 100, but maybe I don't remember the exact price. But I want to say I talked him down like 60, 70 bucks.
Damn.
Damn.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Did I say last time already about? Was this what gave me joy last time, Nate? Couldn't have been. Maybe it was the memorial service in the apartment lobby.
You did speak about that in the Patreon episode, but I don't know if that was necessarily what gave you joy. Maybe, yeah, I think it was, actually.
I'm going to let it go, even though it's a fucking really funny story.
Well, speaking of joys, I think we should go ahead and share what gave us joy this week. And I know it can be, these are some dark times right now, but the power of joy is it's more powerful than ever, I would say. And people are really, anyways, okay, so MJ Lenderman last night, I was about to go into a crazy fucking emotional speech, cheating. But... MJ Lenderman, they rocked the house. That was fun. Great show. Great theater. Great company. What else can I say? VIP wristbands. I mean, come on.
Okay. Yeah, that was amazing. Had a great time there. The only thing I did feel was like there were some... I think I'm getting to the point where I can't stand... And to be having, you know what I mean, no pain for over 3 hours.
Yeah. Right.
And I felt pathetic because I was having to lean against the wall in the back. That's pathetic. Nodding my head, looking around with a non-alcoholic beer leaning against a fucking
wall. You look like an undercover cop.
That's because of my body transformation. But, okay, what's giving me joy? Okay, just hit the dry January, delayed dry January, full month. And right now we're doing bonus points and just kind of keeping it going for a little while. But hitting the month, that feels good to just sort of just be dried out for a little while. Mm-hmm. And frankly, life is easier sometimes.
Isn't that interesting? Without the numbers.
That's just sad. It's freaky joy.
I think it's a beautiful joy. Okay. Congratulations on 1 month, Eric.
Yeah, hey, congratulations.
Hey, thanks, guys.
See, it's that easy. And then, joy wise, Jack, I was
what gave
around.
You joy, man?
I'll tell you. So, I'm walking around New York, go for a walk. God damn, I love walking around Fort Greene, I'll say it, park. And it was like 8 o'clock, and I was like, oh man, I still got to get this fucking work done tonight. I better just walk home right now and get this work done. Then I thought, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to go into the park and I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm allowed to go on a little walk for 15 extra minutes for love of God. And then I'm in the park and I think, wow, it's fucking snowing all of a sudden. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to start throwing some snowballs at some tree branches and see what I can hit. Fuck it. Listen to music. And then I see a hill. And that's when I go, you know what? That's the perfect sledding hill. And if I see a fucking trash can lid, I'm grabbing that thing. And I did. And I hit the hill. And so here's a video of me sledding.
Oh, I'm so jealous. This looks... I've been wanting to sled... Like, oh my... You're kidding.
Whoa, you're going quick. Oh.
I can't tell. Let me play that one more time. Because this...
What was the shape of the lid? Where'd you get that trash can lid?
I'll be honest. I broke into the... Behind the fence. Into the, like... you know, park ranger supply area, and I found just like the perfect fucking lid. It was, and so I should have went down the hill one time without filming it first, because I could never ever have guessed how fast this was gonna go. And this video is me like genuinely trying to stop.
Oh my god. Wow,
it was hectic. And I was laughing, and I definitely was like, I was laughing really hard and spinning around, and there is an awareness of like how sad it is. It's capital J joy, but it's also capital M mental illness, when then you get up and you're like,
that's what they want you to think.
Just like people looking at you and you're wet.
Nothing like sledding, man. Having a cup of hot chocolate afterwards, too, with some fake ass little marshmallows.
Oh, and then getting sick right away. Doing a podcast sick as all hell again.
Dude, we're going to be healthy. We're going to be okay. And we'll get through this.
I'm ready to let go. All right, smell you later.
Okay, guys, that's another Joy Tactics. Peace out. Love everyone that listens to this. Stay strong.
Suck it.
Well, that concludes another incredible fucking episode of Joy Tactics. Head over to patreon.com/joytactics to unlock exclusive weekly bonus episodes. And make sure to follow us on social media, where we post fire TikToks and hilarious shit like that. And if you loved the shit you just listened to, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and remember, we are shaped by our thoughts, we become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves.